It's Bama week, and the Tigers start off the big week with a big loss. The Raging Cajuns are bowl eligible, but they're bigger fish to fry. Saints back in action, but come on, let's be honest. It's Bama week. Let's get going. Today, Monday, November 4th, 2019.
Under center, play action. Fromm drops, sets, throws, left sideline. Caught, Cager wide open. 20, 10, 5, touchdown. There was nobody in his zip code. And Lawrence Cager takes it 52 yards to the house on a connection from his quarterback, Jake Fromm, to put Georgia up 22-10.
Jackson takes the shotgun snap, hesitates, tries to find running room, trying to push his way, trying to get some help, pulled into the end zone, and he's yanked in by a lineman for the touchdown. Lamar Jackson looked like he was stopped, and then two or three Ravens got up there and started to pull him.
Rivers under center, handoff to Gordon, pushes forward, touchdown, Chargers. Melvin Gordon with a one-yard dive.
The Chargers have three running backs. You can see it today. Melvin Gordon getting in the end zone. We've seen Justin Jackson, Austin Eckler, and this offensive line getting a surge that we have not seen this season.
And a happy Monday afternoon to you and yours. And then there was only one undefeated team in the NFL. The San Francisco 49ers are the lone team that's unblemished thanks to the Baltimore Ravens taking care of the New England Patriots. Lamar Jackson and company got it done. Yes, indeed. And a wake-up call, according to Aaron Rodgers, for the Green Bay Packers after they got humbled by the L.A. Chargers. No points scored in the first half by that prolific offense led by what many call the best quarterback in the game today. He only scored 11 points overall, and the Packers go down. Strange weekend in that LSU did not have a game. The Saints did not have a game, but the Raging Cajuns did, and as everyone expected, they beat the lowly team from Texas State 31-3. They are now 6-2, which tells you they are bowl eligible. They have slowly but surely become more of a complete team, a team that was supposed to be led by a great running game, maybe outscore people. Now all of a sudden Ron Roberts has done a tremendous job defensively, and the Raging Cajuns are rolling. Now can they back up the Saturday performance after 16 or 17 days off? Now they got to do a quick turnaround. Get ready, travel Wednesday to Coastal Carolina to take on the Chanticleers on a Thursday at 6:30 p.m. So we'll see if they can maintain their composure, their work ethic, not get full of themselves, and keep on keeping on with the process. I don't think Billy Napier will allow anything else. So we begin the day with the news that 5 days after LSU coach Ed Orgeron confirmed that defensive lineman Justin Thomas is no longer with the team for personal reasons, senior linebacker Michael Divinity is now no longer with the LSU football team due to, quote, personal reasons. Divinity was already set to be held out of three games this season with what were called coaches' decisions. And another issue now has led Divinity to being removed from the team altogether and likely missing the remainder of the season. His nameplate is already off of his locker in the LSU facility. Orgeron said he hopes that Thomas, a junior, can return to the team this spring. And when asked about what would go happen with Michael Divinity, says, we're not going to close the door on anything. We're just going to give it time, and we will see what happens. So a big week starts off with a big loss. Divinity really came into his own a year ago when Kalyvon Chaisson was out. He was once rated by 247 Sports as a five-star prospect, the number 18 player in the country. Divinity currently has 9.5 sacks and 18 tackles for loss in his four seasons at LSU. So this news comes 6 days before number one LSU, number two Alabama face off Saturday afternoon at 2:30 in Tuscaloosa. Of course, the game will be heard right here on 103.7 The Game with the pregame show at 12:30. Man, this big. It's big. But it does open up the door and the possibility for other players to step up and be accounted for. We'll hear from Coach Ed Orgeron later on in the program. He had his weekly press luncheon today that you heard here on 103.7 The Game. We've got some of the sound that Clint is working on, and we'll cut up and we'll have it all for you. Look, everybody in the world is going to say, and rightly so, that LSU has the stuff this year that it takes to beat an Alabama. Coach O said the spread offense is here to stay. It's basketball on grass now. You have to score points in college football. And LSU can score points with the best of them. With the best of them. So everybody, every pundit, everyone's going to say that. The line opened at 6.5 in favor of Alabama. It's now down to 5.5. Nick Saban said on the big story of the game, what about Tua Tagovailoa? He said he's going to get equal reps with their backup, Matt Jones, and his playing status will be a game-time decision. He said he did practice twice last week. We'll see what Tua can do today. So, you know, you've got to prepare. You've got to do what you do best. You've got to change up what you do, how you present it, because Alabama's going to be studying your tape. So it basically comes down to this. LSU has what it takes this year to beat Alabama. But you still got to go do it. So in order to do that, I've always found in the biggest of games, your very best players have to play at their best level. So you look at Joe Burrow. You look at Justin Jefferson. You look at Thad Moss. On the defensive side, you look at Tyler Shelvin. You look at Kalyvon Chaisson. You look at Grant Delpit. Look at all of them. The best players have to be at their best. They don't have to do anything superhuman. No, they've just got to play their best against the best team that they will play against all year. And forget about what's happened before. This is a whole new year. Look, I faced that as an LSU basketball player against Kentucky. And we knew all the history about how Kentucky won more championships than anybody. They dominated the SEC. I knew all those stories. We all heard that every time you play. But that doesn't mean that the particular Kentucky team you're playing is like those teams in the past, nor is the team that you're on right here, right now, like your teams in the past. It's a whole new season. It's a new beginning. They've got different players. You've got different players. They've got the same uniforms. You've got the same uniforms. They've got the same coach. You've got the same coach for the third year. Other than that, that's about it. Yeah, there's some players that have been in the games, and we all know that Alabama crushed LSU a year ago in Tiger Stadium 29-0. But that was a different team. That was a different offense. That was different. So we'll talk about it all week long. I promise. And we'll hear from all of those that count. But they're all going to say the same thing. Yeah, LSU's good. This is the first time LSU's played against an Alabama team where they can go toe-to-toe offensively. This is not your 9-6 type of game anymore. Yada, yada, yada. But you still got to go get it done where it counts on the field, and this field happens to be away from your home at Bryant-Denny Stadium. College game day will be there. It is the game of the week. It's the game of the year. Still comes down to the trenches. Still comes down to your super players playing super on a super Saturday. It's plain and simple. Let me tell you what we have on the docket for today. Brooks Cabina of The Advocate will be joining us next. The impact of Michael Divinity's loss. Nick Fontenot will recap the 31-3 win over Texas State for the Daily Advertiser. We'll have Hot Topics. We'll hear from Ed Orgeron. We'll hear from Billy Napier. And then the lead college football writer for Sports Illustrated, Ross Dellinger, will join us in hour number two. It's Bama Week. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Here we go.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, it's Bama Week, brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best trucks on the highway. When the Tigers send their equipment ahead of the team to Tuscaloosa, they'll get there via a Peterbilt truck. We've got locations in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. Every truck driver wants to own a Peterbilt. Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best in the business. Nick Cabina of The Advocate is kind enough to join us today. And we start off the day with the news of Michael Divinity no longer on the LSU football team. Brooks, when you heard that, what entered your mind first and foremost?
Well, I mean, Michael Divinity is a guy who the first three games, he was out of the game with what Ed Orgeron called coach's decisions. You can read between the lines between those, and he missed another due to an injury. And this is something where last week he wasn't there at practice, and, you know, I've heard that that's kind of where this all began. And, you know, Ed Orgeron said the official word is, you know, personal reasons. So there's nothing more for me to officially report on that on that I'd be comfortable saying. Right. And I mean, that's really what it is. And you know, this was a guy who returned for his senior season, and there was a lot of things, a lot of expectations for him to come in. There was a time last year where we wondered whether he would be the number 18. For this season, and we asked him about that, and he laughed and said, you know, here's hoping. So, I mean, this was a guy who was LSU's best pass rusher last year in the absence of Kayvon Chaisson, and, you know, now that Chaisson is back, you know, he was able to bolster that alongside him. He's the team's sack leader, so going into a pivotal game, the number one versus number two Alabama, it's a pretty big blow to start the week. And LSU's going to be in a position where they're going to try and figure out how to amend the pass rush. So it's a big loss to start the week for sure.
No question. Andre Anthony, Ray Thornton, both juniors. They're the most experienced backups who attempted to replace Chaisson last year. Neither one of them really gained the staff's confidence. We heard about Marcel Brooks, who has a high upside, began his career at a safety, moved to outside linebacker. He's earned a spot on the pass rush team, but he may not be big enough physically and emotionally for a game like this. So I don't know what Dave Aranda is going to do, but he's got to come up with somebody.
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing is, I mean, Kayvon Chaisson is still there, and let's just take a look at the Alabama offense, and we'll kind of look at it in the terms of the LSU offense. There are three wide receivers for Alabama that are within the top 50 in touchdowns. And the way that Alabama spreads out the football is the same way LSU does. Is LSU's defense going to be in a 3-4 set with two outside linebackers? No, not most of the time.
I hope not.
Chaisson will be there, and and most likely you'll see more of the nickel dime looks from LSU. And I don't know if you're losing a starter in the sense of this. What you're losing is on third down passing situations, a guy that was coming in for blitz packages to get off the field. And that's where Marcel Brooks steps in, I think. And, you know, Ray Thornton and Andre Anthony have both had their spots throughout the season, but Marcel has taken on a larger role in that in the past couple of games. So I think that's where you'll see the loss really make up on the field, and where is that going to go. Divinity clearly is the more talented, more experienced, more, savvy pass rusher that you'd want to be on the field. But Marcel, you know, Brooks had a big sack against Florida. He's been effective. We all know how much of an athlete he is. So that's really where you'll see, the loss pick up. And, you know, Dave Aranda has earned the reputation of someone who has been able to adapt game to game. So, you know, that's definitely going to be something to analyze the rest of this week and to watch for on Saturday. But I, as far as the basic first down, second down look, I don't think you'd see much of a base look from the Tigers anyway.
That's a great point. Brooks Cabine of The Advocate, kind enough to join us. We know about Fulton and Stingley on the edges. We know about Delpit and, Stevens from the safety position. Give me another DB that you think is really, really pivotal in this game.
Well, I think you've named them. You bring up Stevens, and not to go back to a previous question, but, you know, we've seen him play outside linebacker at times last year, and maybe he becomes part of some of these pass rush packages. And I don't know if the full depth is as what you could do there. But, these are safeties that need to have their best games. These are defensive backs that are going to have their work cut out for them. Like I said, this is the best receiving core in the nation between LSU and Alabama. I think you could have a good argument to say which has more and which is better. So they're really going to have to rely on each other. I don't know if you're going to be able to see LSU go man-on-man all the time against Jerry Jeudy, against all these players. And I think, Christian Fulton's been there, and Derek Stingley both, but we've seen Cordell Flott be effective throughout the season. But, you know, the main guy that needs to have a good game throughout these players is Kerry Vincent. He's been their starting nickelback, and all the focus will be on him in the middle because he's that matchup guy on the slot. They've had to rotate Christian Fulton inside sometimes, and Kerry's been taking that over again this week. And he's going to have his work cut out for him in the middle. And both him and Stevens playing in the back, they're going to have to protect that middle of the field. And that also goes on the linebackers as well. Jacob Phillips and Patrick Queen in coverage. How are they going to be? Because they're going to have to play against the run-pass option for Alabama, both read-run and, that's why they're so good at the slants. Is they open up the middle of the field by dragging those linebackers in. So Kerry Benson's going to be, a big spot on this game. And I think the spotlight will be there. And this game right here is going to really show where he's at in his development as a defensive back.
Agreed totally. Brooks Cabina, The Advocate. I've been to these pressers before where you could basically cut the tension with a knife. And if your players are react to how your head coach behaves and his mannerisms, so that's why sometimes LSU would come out there tight. What was the feeling inside that presser, and what perspective did you get from Coach O on how he's handling this week?
You know, starting with the Michael Divinity news, you would have expected it to be a pretty tense press conference, but it wasn't. Ed Ogeron is, I didn't really sense too much different from any other week. He seems relaxed. He seems confident. He seems like, at least this week, he doesn't seem unfazed, and he doesn't seem emotionally charged about it either, because we've seen during Alabama week or post-Alabama week where he understands the gravity of it and lets his emotions show. But today, throughout most of it, he was pretty calm, and I don't get the sense that there was really a tense conversation, even when it's starting off with some news you probably didn't want to talk about.
Very good. That's always great. And we'll find out more from how the players respond. What players will they provide and make available prior to this game, in your opinion?
Oh, man, that's like trying to read tarot cards, man. You request between different media entities. Like, I'll request players, and some others request players. That's kind of how it works. But we won't know until later on this afternoon. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think you'll have your usual suspects, Joe Burrow, Kalyvon Chaisson. I think you'll hear from these guys. But I've definitely got some people I want to talk to, but I don't know. I think those will be the players you'll hear from.
Who's the one player you really want to talk to that you may not get a chance to?
That I might not get a chance to?
Right.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, in other words, you're going to have Burrow, you're going to have Chaisson, but you said you want to talk to a bunch of players. Who's one that they may not provide?
I don't know. I don't know if that's entirely an appropriate answer for me to give. I don't know.
Okay.
I think that's fine. I mean, there's some wide receivers and players that I don't think I'm not going to get players. I just think, you know, I'll have, you know, the chance to talk. I'm not sure who they're going to bring. So, I think Justin Jefferson would be real interesting to talk to. I think he's got a lot of perspective from his family and other things like that. Just last time that they won, it was Jordan. So, you know, it's an interesting situation. So I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but that's really all.
I was hinting around at Justin. I was hinting around at Justin Jefferson. But everybody talks about the passing game. I got a sneaky suspicion. The team that runs the ball very, very effectively is the team that has a great chance to win this thing. So we'll see. You got a lot of work ahead of you, big guy. Everybody's going to be reading everything that's out there under the sun. So get busy, go to work, and we always appreciate talking to you on a Monday, man. Thank you, Brooks.
Yeah, no worries, man. Thanks.
All right, you take care. Brooks Cabina of The Advocate. It's just the start. Just the start of Bama Week. We'll hear from Coach O in hour number two. But when we return here on the Jordy Helfrich Show, they're both eligible. They took care of their business as expected. And the Raging Cage is now becoming a full, well-rounded ball club at 6-2. Nick Fontenot of The Advertiser joins us next to talk about it.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Raging Cajuns, get our focus here and now on this Monday, November the 4th, 31-3 winners over Texas State. Everybody talks about the offense, but the defense is certainly coming around. And earlier after the game Saturday at Cajun Field, Billy Napier talked about the defensive performance.
I mean, I can't compliment our defense enough. I think it's been a long time around here since we played that type of defense, and we're starting to do it pretty consistently. So, you know, they kept the game under control until we figured it out. You know, I thought we created some takeaways, certainly controlled the field position of the game. We did have a couple of their returns spit out of there that we need to clean up. But, you know, I think we had a handful of undisciplined penalties, a little bit disappointed with that. I think some of it was bang-bang, but there was some obvious undisciplined play out there we need to address. Just talk to our team a little bit more about that. That's one thing about this team. You know, this team is loyal. You know, they play hard. They play with emotion. They play physical.
They play physical. He really likes his club. He does. And one of the key moments of the game, a sluggish start. I think that has to do with a long layover. I really, really, really do. The weirdest scheduling I've ever seen before. You play 16 days between games, then you play on a Saturday. You got to come right around and play again on a Thursday. So it is helter-skelter completely. But the key to the game was the two-minute drive right before the half, and that settled in a long field goal by Arteagues. But Napier talked about that key element to the win.
Well, you got three timeouts, you know, so, you know, we call it Mayday 2 minute, you know, so we're going to try to get the ball to a certain area on the field where we feel like we can go be aggressive. And it just popped out of there. You know, we ran it on second and short a couple times and then got quick on the ball. Levi did a good job working his way through the progression on the boundary, got out of bounds. I mean, it was that was good to see. We kind of needed that a little bit. Gave us some confidence going into the half. Certainly got a little bit of momentum. I mean, the big thing here that gets overlooked is Stevie Arteague, you know, stepping up. That was an easy kick. Now, that had some length to it and was into the wind. And certainly he hit it right down the middle. So, you know, that was a big turning point in the game. And we talk about being situation experts. I thought we executed really well in that possession. And that was big in the game.
Cage has got the ball to start the second half. They ran it. They took control. We heard about the third quarter where they just completely dominated. They got a quick seven on the board to take a commanding lead, and then they just cruised on from there, and the defense held up. Billy Napier loves his quarterback, Levi Lewis, and he gives him the ultimate compliment when he calls him a guy that just knows how to win.
Well, we kind of knew going in. This was kind of a drop-eight team. It was a man-to-man team. There was going to be pass plays where it was muddy. You know, where they have an extra guy in coverage or, you know, they're spying a guy. They've got an extra rat, as we would call it, and he was going to have to make some plays with his feet. We've been challenging him to do that, and certainly you can see, I think it sometimes settles him down a little bit. You know, he can go make some plays with his feet, but he did that tonight. He had some huge scrambles for third downs where maybe they had an extra guy in coverage. And that's what he needs to do. We always talk about when they drop eight, you got to use your feet as your check down. And he did that. So the guy just wins, man. He gets it.
He gets it. And look, they got the wake-up call with App State getting beat earlier on Thursday. But now at 6-2, they're bowl eligible. And that in the past used to mean, oh, that's great, that's great. But Billy Napier has bigger fish, bigger goals than just being bowl eligible.
Well, I mean, I think that I would hope at some point that would just become a given. But I think for our players, it is a little bit of a box that we checked. You know, we talked a little bit about that. We do have bigger ambitions than that. There's no reason why we shouldn't go to a bowl game here every year. We're 6-2. We're bowl eligible, but we got bigger ambitions. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, we're going to turn the page and get ready for Coastal.
And that is Thursday night at 6:30. Nick Fontenot of the Daily Advertiser, kind enough to join us. A slow start, but an impressive finish. Kind of just what the doctor ordered against Texas State. Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon. How are you, Jordy?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. So, you know, everybody talks about the running game and Levi Lewis, but I don't think we give enough credit to Ron Roberts and the job he's done with this defense. Slowly but surely, they're getting stingier and stingier week in and week out.
Absolutely. And the game Saturday night can definitely give the win to the defense. I mean, they kept them in the game when the offense is struggling. Not the first time this has happened. The first couple of times that come to mind are the Mississippi State game and the Appalachian State game. Now, both of those games ended in losses, but those games could have got really out of hand if the defense didn't step up, and the Cajuns were in both of those games at the end with a chance to win. This time, the offense was very slow to get moving, and it couldn't really get anything going, and the defense just continued to play well and keep them right there. So, you know, like Michael Jacquet said at the end of the game, you know, they get a little bit more. They play very motivated at all times, but when the offense is struggling, they maybe get just a little bit more motivated to know that if they don't play well, it's going to get out of hand. So the game Saturday night can definitely be given to the defense for getting that win for the Cajuns.
And, I mean, they had a bunch of players out, Jamarcus. Bradley went down. Ragas was out. Hunt was out. And to be able to win a game as thoroughly as they did, kind of shorthanded, is a great sign for a team that has lofty goals.
And that's a big reason why I think it took them a while to get going, is they were getting used to the new people on the field. They were getting used to the new personnel that they weren't really, you know, familiar with. You know, you kind of run into routines when you run behind big Robert Hunt, you know, all the time. Or, you know, you got Trey Ragas to kind of spell those running backs. With those guys not there, you know, they were just kind of trying to figure out the rest of the guys there. And once they did that, especially in the second half, once they went into halftime and figured out, made the adjustments and figured out, you know, who was on the field and how they were going to play, they dominated the game. So, you know, it didn't start the way they wanted it to, but then like once they figured out what they were going to do and how they were going to do it, then they just dominated Texas State as was predicted and as they should have.
Nick Fontenot, the Daily Advertiser, joining us. 31-3, the Raging Cajuns winners over Texas State. They play Coastal Carolina this Thursday on the road at 6:30. We played a soundbite of Billy Napier talking about Stevie Arteagues. A confidence building, not only for the team, field goal right before the half, but certainly for himself as well. And that's something that you can't have enough of that as you come down the stretch.
It was definitely something that was concerning, definitely something that pretty much everybody on the program was secretly talking about, man, this kicking situation is problem-solving, and it's gonna cost us the game maybe later on in the season. And for him to come in and kick, you know, a 46-yard field goal into the wind, you know, after struggling for so long and not really being able to kick the ball through the uprights, for him to do that and to look over at the sidelines and see how enthusiastic the team was, and the team is pulling for him, and everybody loves Stevie. He's a local kid from Lafayette High, and you know, everybody wants him to do well. For him to get that kick through the uprights, it just kind of lifted the whole team and kind of maybe took that pressure off of him. You know, sometimes it just takes one kick to go through, and it'll set you up for later on in the season when you'll be making those kicks. So hopefully that's what happens with Stevie, because, you know, he's such a great kid, and everybody wants him to succeed. And, you know, hopefully he can end his senior season on a high note.
Nick, it was a 16-17-day layoff between games. Now you got to turn right around and you play on a Saturday. Now you got to go on the road and play on a Thursday. This Sun Belt Conference scheduling is ridiculous. How does UL handle this? They've certainly had experience playing on a short week before, but you know, if you're going to reach your goals. Oh boy, 7-2 sounds a lot better than 6-3. How do you think they handle this quick turnaround?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, they're laying off 16 days, 10 days, and they're playing on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and it's just it's crazy. It's not what normal college football teams are doing. But you know, that's the nature of the beast, and that's what the Sun Belt Conference is doing. They want to get their games on national television. They want to get them in marquee spots, right. And for them to do that, they have to play on these weird games and on these weird days and weird times. And when you're a team like UL and you're one of the, you know, the premier schools of the conference is going to want to, you know, showcase you in these games. So it's just one of those things that they're just going to have to figure out. And honestly, I think Billy Napier and the Cajun staff has done a really good job of just keeping their routine and somehow trying to keep them focused and not change things a lot, making, you know, sometimes a Friday is a Monday and a Saturday is a Thursday and things like that. And they've done a really good job with that. So, you know, now it's a short week. They've had those extended weeks before, but now they have a short week to get ready for Coastal Carolina. And I think, you know, last year's game with Coastal Carolina coming into Cajun Field and picking up a win, I think that's going to be a big motivator to get them ready. And as Napier has said in the past, he doesn't care when they put the ball down or what day they want to put the ball down. If you're a competitor, you're ready to play. And I think that's what the Cajuns are trying to do on Thursday when they take on Coastal.
Well, you got a confident kicker. You got a really good defense. You got a quarterback who just knows how to win, according to his coach. And the running game was still good. What was they turned the thing around in the third period. Was that just kind of a shaking the cobwebs off, or what happened?
Yeah, I think you maybe could attest it to that. I think they just, like I said earlier, they were trying to figure out some personnel issues. I think, you know, we had talked earlier in the week about that offensive line and Robert Hunt, being such a key figure in that offensive line and a key player for the Cajuns for so many years. And, you know, for him to be out, you kind of maybe you're a little bit hesitant to run on that side now that, you know, your big guy is not there. But I think once they figured out their personnel issues and Elijah Mitchell and Ray McCauley are such good running backs that once they were able to figure out, you know, maybe it's just a little bit different. Maybe, you know, this guy pulls just a little bit different. They figured that out, and they ran the ball for almost 300 yards, 296 yards. So, you know, they started out very slow. But, you know, as we have said all year, Jordy, running backs are the strong point of the offense, the strong point of the team, and they relied on those guys. And they came through in the second half. Not how they started, and I don't think anybody was satisfied with the way they started, but the way they finished was very impressive.
It seems to me, more so than what I've seen in the past, there seems to be an even keel here. They don't get blown out. You know, it's like they know what they're doing. It seems like the players know what to do and when to do it because it just sounds like they've got really good coaching now, and that's not always been the case.
Yeah, really good coaching and really good players as well. I mean, you know, we sometimes in South Louisiana, especially around programs like LSU and watch Alabama, and, you know, those programs, one loss is the end of the season pretty much in some years. But for most college football teams, you know, you're going to drop a few games here and there. And this team, they're not getting blown out. You know, yeah, they have a couple of losses on their resume, but they're 6-2 and bowl eligible and a lot of bigger aspirations ahead of them. And it's definitely a credit to the coaching. I mean, Billy Napier, you mentioned Ron Roberts earlier. I mean, he has a really good coaching staff behind him. And Napier himself is a really good coach. And he gets a lot of credit, but sometimes I don't know if he gets enough credit for just exactly what he's done in just a year and a half. You know, finishing up his second year with the Cajuns, he's taken them to a place where we've never really been before. With, you know, at this point in the season, only with two losses, a really, really strong chance for a 10-win season. I mean, this Cajuns program is in a really good spot, and I think you're absolutely right. It's a credit to the coaches and what they've been able to do.
And good scheduling by the administration. Just one SEC team. You don't have to go on the road for two of them. Let's get some more wins, get the fan base up, and you'll make up the difference somehow, some way. Nick Fontenot, we'll see how they turn things around Thursday at Coastal Carolina. But so far, so good. Good ball club. And thank you for your time, as always.
All right. Thanks, Jordy.
All right, buddy, you take care. Nick Fontenot of the Daily Advertiser will come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. Set the stage for hour number two. It's Bama week. Yeah, baby. We got Thursday night, the Raging Cajun. Saturday, LSU Bama. Sunday, the Saints hosting the Falcons. We're back on an even keel, a normal weekend. Can't wait. We'll be back. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
LSU Tigers, as you well know by now, the number one team in the country and the number one sports station in Acadiana, 1037 The Game, wants you to be a part of their march to a possible national title. We're giving you a chance to win tickets to the final two games in Death Valley. You can score a pair of tickets to the November 23rd game against Arkansas or the November 30th game against the Texas A&M Aggies. We're giving them both away through the 1037 The Game Clubhouse. So go choose your game, enter to win at 1037thegame.com, and cheer on the Tigers to a victory in person. So as Coach O says, go Tigers at the end of each and every contest. Week 9 of the NFL, the Saints were a non-factor, but my goodness, who's in over their head more? Kinchins, the coach of Cleveland, or Gaze, the coach at Miami? My goodness gracious, I don't know. for the New York Jets, excuse me. But Adam Gase, I mean, they were the first team to lose to the Miami Dolphins, who has spent the past 8 months blatantly coming out, subverting the quality of its roster in an effort to get as many 2020 and 2021 NFL draft picks as possible, and they lose at the hands of former Jets quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, my gosh, the Jets are awful. They're 1-7. Miami is 1-7, and Adam Gase is in over his head. Yes, indeed. Did the Dolphins mess up by winning? Are they tanking for Tua or blowing it for Burrow? I don't know. I don't know what they're – I like that, blowing it for Burrow. Cleveland's another team that's done. They're playing a Broncos team starting Brandon Allen at quarterback. Remember him, Tiger fans, when he was at Arkansas? Had no worries against him. And they stink. The Browns stink. Here's another coach that's in way, way, way over his head. They're just bad. They have no discipline. They have no function. And it's all disintegrating. You take a look at Baker Mayfield before the season. You take a look at Baker Mayfield now. He looks like one of those, like the president who's been in office for 4 years, just getting beat down. Beat down. Bad. Minshew mania is near its end as Nick Foles is coming back. And Minshew just, I don't know. But they're happy in Miami for one reason. They haven't popped the champagne bottles yet, but one more bit the dust as the Patriots lost to the Ravens, showing you on any given Sunday what can happen. The Ravens were pretty good. They were. And when that quarterback of theirs, Lamar Jackson's doing his thing, they're pretty good. But my goodness gracious. Carolina went on to win yesterday. They're two games behind the Saints. The Saints get to host Atlanta. Matt Ryan, I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to play or not, but Atlanta ought to just fold the tent as well. Saints go marching on. The back end of their schedule, there's one game ahead that could be very, very pivotal to the course of seedings, and that's when they take on the 49ers. But other than that, they play NFC South teams. They've got to play Tampa Bay. They've got to play Carolina twice. They've got to play Carolina once. They've got to play Atlanta twice. So certainly winnable games, and it's just a good time. Absolutely. Hour number two of the program, we will have Hot Topics. We'll hear from Ed Orgeron. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated will join us as well, as we are counting down the days finally to another monumental opportunity for LSU. Is this the year that the 8-game losing streak to Bama comes to an end? You can talk all you want. You got to get it done on the field. And Ed Orgeron was very, very emphatic about that. Yeah, we feel good about our team, but we got to do it. Talk is cheap. We got to do it. This hour of the program brought to you by D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Frankie's a huge sports fan. He'll talk your ear off about the Tigers, the Cajuns, the Saints, the Pelicans, whatever you want, he'll do it. And in the meantime, he's got a lot of great stuff in his store. Clean restrooms and just that great soul food deli tucked away in the corner. I talk about the cheeseburger all the time, and it is just knuckle-sucking good. But there's so much more. They're fried catfish, they're boudin balls, everything fresh, cooked to order, ready to go. You can eat in, or you can take it in the car and hit the road, Jack. Yes, you can. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon. Busy second hour coming your way. The Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station, back for hour number two after this.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off a
another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two, and away we go. Tigers heading to Tuscaloosa. Game of the Century, part two, number one versus number two, depending upon what poll you follow, Alabama, LSU. Yes, indeed, the Crimson Tide, 6.5, 5.5 point favorites on this one. LSU starts the big week with a big loss. Michael Divinity, no longer with the ball club. On Instagram, he came out and said, I'm taking some time off to focus on a personal matter, and just wanted to say thank you to my coaches, teammates, and the entire LSU community for your continued help and support. I'm sorry I can't be on the field. So if you missed hour number one, Brooks Cabina of The Advocate broke it down. I don't know, you know, just what kind of a role he would have played throughout much of the game with Alabama's affinity for arguably LSU. Alabama have the best wide receiving core in the country. You can't play a normal defense against that. You've got to have a lot of defensive backs, safeties, playing against the nickel and all that kind of stuff, playing against the slot. So maybe on a third down passing yardage situation, well, Divinity would have made an impact. Maybe it's Marcel Brooks' time to shine on this one. 2:30 kickoff Saturday, Bryant-Denny Stadium. It's on CBS, and it's also here on 103.7 The Game. We're brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. Yes, indeed. And they've got all kinds of stuff going on there. There's 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. And they're giving away, ShopRite Tobacco Plus, an SEC championship package. The package includes a two-night stay in the hotels in Atlanta for the SEC championship game, two game tickets, and two pre-party passes. Now, the winner will be picked this Friday, November the 8th. To enter to win, the customer, you, must have a Buku Rewards app and either check in with their app or buy any size Dr. Pepper fountain drink with their app. Simple. Just go get the app, Buku Rewards app from ShopRite Tobacco Plus, and go buy yourself a Dr. Pepper or just check in, and you're eligible for the SEC championship game. Yes, indeed. A lot of people are saying, you know, if either team loses, that means they don't have to play in the championship game. But because of their resume, they'd still get into the college football playoff. Can't trust that. Just can't. Go play. Go win the game. So we'll talk all about that. We'll hear from Coach O shortly. But we start off hour number two every day in the same fashion. We take our daily walk around the sports water cooler to see what's hot. CD, let's do it.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, CD, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Jordy. You know, I mean, I'm not like our guy Willie Taggart. I'm not out of a job after 2 years at the helm.
Wow.
My goodness. No. And it was crazy to see that happen all during
the... He's the smartest...
Go ahead.
He's the smartest man on earth, CD. I mean, let me fail and get $17 million, $18 million for doing nothing. I mean, gee whiz.
It's amazing to see what's been going on with Willie Taggart and just 2 years in, and now you're kind of getting ready to go back on the coaching search again when you look at Florida State, going from almost the penthouse to the outhouse in record fashion, Jordy.
It's one of those great places. Here's the problem with Florida State. They're in a talent-rich area. There's no question about that. They have a brand name. There's no question about that. But they're spending all their money buying out coaches. If they had just spent money to improve their facilities, they wouldn't have lost Jimbo Fisher. But their facilities are antiquated. I mean, very, very antiquated. Name a school that doesn't have a practice facility, you know, an indoor practice facility. They don't have it. So that's the problem at Florida State. Their guidance is just not very up to speed. It'll be curious to see. I heard all kind of names mentioned. Mark Stoops at Kentucky. I hear Gus Malzahn at Auburn. All kinds of names being bantered about. It's a great place, but they've got to spend some money on the right things, not on buying out coaches. But Jimmy Sexton, I want you to be my manager because you cut unbelievable deals with these people. And Willie Taggart, when he got the gig, I'm like, well, what has he really done? So shame on you, Florida State. Now you got to pay the price. But I heard they raised $20 million in the blink of an eye to pay this guy off.
It's definitely wild, Jordy, to see how much money that man is getting paid just to not coach. It's almost Les Miles-esque what we saw from him after he got let go as the head coach of the Tigers just a few short years ago. But it makes you wonder, Jordy, which one of the head coaches in college football is next kind of hammer to fall? Who's next to be out in your mind?
Oh, gosh. How about Morris at Arkansas? That's a train wreck. Mississippi State beat them like a drum. So I think Arkansas may want to cut ties. But the biggest thief of all was Charlie Weiss when he left Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
And they were paying him like up until maybe this year. I think the payments finally stopped, and that was long, long, long time ago.
It was almost Bobby Bonilla-esque, Jordy.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, it's kind of you brought up Arkansas. Speaking of which, how about this? You have the grandson of Jarrah getting the start at quarterback against Kentucky, West Kentucky, for their Week 11 matchup. John Stephen Jones is going to be getting the start. I'm about to say Jarrah's probably pretty darn happy about that right about now.
I saw the kid playing, and no offense, but I swear he looks like he's like 5 feet tall. He looks so small out there. He looks like Rudy Rudiger from Notre Dame. He looks like he's so small, but hey, that's just not working. It's just not working. I think they would welcome back Brett Bielema. As bad as he was, he's better than Morris. That's bad.
Oh, it's very, very bad what we've seen. Chad Morris at SMU. Seemed like he was building that program back up, and now SMU still pretty relevant even after a tough loss to the Memphis Tigers over the weekend.
Yep.
But my question to you, we were talking about Florida State earlier and just how much of a bleep show that place seems to be. What's the bigger bleep show, Florida State or what we're seeing with the Cleveland Browns right now?
Oh, Cleveland, because they actually get paid to play. And, I mean, how that coach remains as the head coach is beyond me. My goodness, they are just terrible. And they've got talented players. I don't think there's any question about that, but he's in over his head. I guarantee you those players don't respect him. And when it comes time for win time, they fall apart. They completely fall apart. Offensive line is awful. And they can't protect the quarterback. And when they do, he throws bad passes. I don't know if Baker Mayfield's a bust or not, but right now he's not doing very well. That's a bad scene in Cleveland. Very bad.
It's a very, very bad scene out in Cleveland. And then you also have them waving Jermaine Whitehead, like right after he had a profanity-laced kind of like tirades towards fans and whatnot on Twitter. The guy definitely, just on top of all that, you got Baker Mayfield out there looking like one of the wet bandits during his post-game press conference. Jordy, it was amazing.
I mean, he looks like he's been beat up as a politician for years now. He looks like he's aged 50 years in 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, it's awful. It's awful. But would you rather be a Cleveland Brown or a New York Jet? I mean, what's worse?
You know, I'd probably say it's worse to be a Cleveland Brown right about now just because there's so much just tumultuousness going on over there. Meanwhile, if you're with the New York Jets, you kind of knew what you were getting into heading into this year, right, Jordy?
I don't know. Gaze, he's out of his league, and Sam Darnold, what the heck is he doing? What are these? He's just lobbing ball. I mean, they're bad. We are so fortunate to be. That used to be the Saints back in the day, way back when they had the bags. They were terrible. But we got to enjoy this ride while we can, because who knows how long it's going to last. But, I mean, it's like night and day from where we are enjoying the Saints and LSU and the Raging Cajuns. I feel for those people that are fans of the Jets and the Browns and the Dolphins. My goodness, it's and Florida State, it's just yep. awful. Oh, I couldn't imagine it. But we've been through it, but I'm glad somebody else has to take a turn now.
It's been a long time since we've had those things, and hopefully that doesn't come back anytime soon. And I got one more for you, Jordy, before we wrap up, and it's more just for fun. Of course, there were no LSU Tigers in action. There were no Saints in action. So what did Jordy Holtberg do this past weekend to kind of fill that void of no Tigers and no Saints?
I had to help some people move from one home to another. I would rather have had a root canal, but you step up and you help when help is needed, and moving is no fun, but you got to do what you got to do. So that's what I did. That's what I did. How about that? When you least expect it. But CD, you were busy. You had the Raging Cajuns, so that's good. That's good. Yeah. But I'm not complaining. But this week, I did it this week, and I had to go to a wedding because everybody schedules a wedding on an open date in the city of Baton Rouge because when it's football season, you just don't do it. So I got all those things out of the way because next Saturday, yeah, you know what's going to happen then. All right, speaking of that, those are your hot topics, by the way, brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce, the very best out there because they use the finest spices and the finest peppers, and they've been doing it, the BR family, for nearly 90 years. It's the best. It is just the best. Do yourself a favor. Try Cajun Chef. You won't try anything else ever again. We're going to hear from Coach O. We're going to hear from Nick Saban. All coming your way. Bama Week continues here on the Jordy Holtberg Show.
You're listening to the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
All right, we're back. It is 18 minutes after the hour. Hope you're having a great afternoon. The sun has come out. It's beautiful. I'm still not used to this time change yet. It was like 5:30 in the afternoon yesterday. I felt like it was 10 o'clock at night. It was dark. Got to get used to it. But so it'll get dark in Tuscaloosa. LSU and Bama are playing. Both coaches had their Monday press conferences. We're going to go back and forth from Coach O and Nick Saban. Coach O talked about this year's football team. He feels really good. He says, this is the best football team we've had going into this LSU-Alabama game.
Like the way offense is putting points on the board. We've gotten better on the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the football. I feel like our guys have been tested against Auburn. They've been tested against Florida. Obviously, they're going to be tested again this week. I do believe we have better depth on the defensive line. I think that our guys are equipped, and this is the best football team we've had going into this game.
Nick Saban, a couple of hundred miles north and to the east, talked about the matchup with the LSU Tigers.
Playing at a very high level right now, and they're very explosive on offense and still have one of the best defensive teams in the country. I think our focus needs to be on attention to detail, doing the little things right, trying to execute the plan against what has been a very good team in terms of how they do things, whether it's on offense, defense, or special teams. We've had a lot of great games with these guys. I think everybody's been ranked in the top 20 since 2007. It's kind of become a rivalry game because of the quality of the program.
Back in 2011, when these two teams met, Game of the Century won, 31 NFL players on that field. 31. That's why they win They got the best talent, LSU and Alabama. We all know about the winning streak that Alabama has. Ed Orgeron summed it up best when he said, new game, new team, new week.
Just like when we play Auburn, just like when we play Florida. What happened in the past has nothing to do with this. This is a new game, a new week, a new football team. So new players on their side, new players on our side.
That's right. New players, same coaches. Nick Saban talked about trying, you know, he blocks out the noise. And it's so funny. He's saying the same things now that he said when he was wearing purple and gold on the sidelines for LSU. He just is. He's a robot. He talked about controlling the hype leading up to Saturday at 2:30.
Well, I think the big thing you want the players to do is not get involved in the hype surrounding the game or even think about the implications of the game, but prepare for the game as if this is the best team you've played and the player that you're going to play is the best player you played against at his position all year long, and therefore you're going to need to challenge yourself to play your best and be your best as a football player and stay focused, you know, on that. And not the distractions that surround the game relative to implications or whatever gets created relative to the circumstance of the game.
Two relatives from my boy Nick. That's awesome. All right, Coach O, he was asked the question, what does this game mean to you?
SEC Championship, SEC West, going to the SEC Championship, having a chance to be in the college football playoffs, having a chance to win the national championship. I mean, that's for us is every game in the SEC. I mean, to get to where you want to go, it seems like you have to go undefeated. You have to beat Alabama. You have to keep on going, and then you have to win the SEC championship. And then you get college football playoffs. You know, so if you start thinking about all that stuff, it becomes overwhelming for your football team. But we know what's at stake, but we don't talk about that. Today's going to be Tell the Truth Monday. I'm going to talk more about the Tiger Bowl than anything, but the guys that played well, because I want our guys loose and relaxed and go play a football game.
I love it. The big question mark around this game is Tua Tagovailoa. Nick Saban talked about the game time decision on his quarterback.
Been pretty consistent on the message with Tua. You know, if he can play in the game, it'll be a game time decision. You know, he did practice 2 days last week. We'll see where he's at today, and then we'll manage the reps accordingly. And when I say that, we cannot predict, you know, if he goes out there today and he looks good, then his rep count is going to go up, and we'll prepare him as if he's going to have an opportunity to play in the game.
So he's not going to be 100%. I don't think anyone can question that. So Alabama get, you know, they run that RPO. They freeze the linebackers. They have to wait to see if Tua's going to hand the ball off to the running back, and then it's a quick slant to one of those four wide receivers that they have. That it's a short pass, but the yards after the catch are phenomenal. So Ed Orgeron was asked a question about the importance of a pass rush on Tua.
Steve has taken over. It reminds me a lot of what we did at USC. There was a lot of gap passes. There was a lot of max protection, taking shots, crossing routes down the field. So he's only got sacked 9 times. A lot of people are getting to him. Obviously on the RPOs, there may be a power and a slant behind it. So the defensive line is playing the run while they're throwing the football behind you. So there's not been a lot of pressure on him. Obviously last year I thought we did put some pressure on him, especially with a quarterback that's not very mobile. If he does play, I don't know if he's going to be mobile or not. So we'll find out.
We will find out. Nick Saban has had plenty of time now to look at an LSU offense that he's never seen before. Maybe the closest thing that ever came to it was back when he had Rohan Davey and Josh Reed playing for LSU when he was the coach of the Tigers. But Nick Saban talked about the best offense LSU's ever had.
You know, they're very efficient in the passing game. Joe has done a really, really good job at quarterback. Totally different offensive scheme than what they've played in the past in terms of have capability to create balance in their offense with a really good runner and a good offensive line. but they also spread you out, create some matchup problems because of the great skill guys that they have, you know, outside in their wide receiver core.
They've got a bunch. The big question for LSU's defense, how do you defend their wide receivers? Coach O talked about that.
We're talking about that at 6 o'clock this morning, to be honest with you, about, you know, the outside release slant. And we saw other teams not playing it very well, and they make big plays. We've all seen that. I do believe that they're, if they're playing man coverage, you're probably going to catch the slant. But it should be for a 3 or 4 yard gain, not for a 10 or 15 yard gain. I believe that the tackles that we make in the open field are going to be critical. We're going to have to take those things away. Obviously, when you take those things away, you give up something else, and they're very good at finding it. So it's going to be a chess match. I do believe that Coach Aranda has been working on this for a long time, along with our analysts, and that we have a very good game plan. But it's going to come down to blocking and tackling. It always does.
Nick Saban on playing the number one ranked team in the country instead of his team being ranked number one.
I don't talk to him about that. We don't really talk about rankings. You know, it doesn't matter where you're ranked. If you don't have success in what you're doing, you're not going to be ranked there long. So you need to focus on what you need to do to play well in the game and try to do the best job that you can so that you have the best opportunity to have success. And that's what we'd rather have our players focused on.
And finally, Ed Orgeron talked about this game. He said we're a long way away from him, but he's made up the ground on the recruiting trail. But then he said something I really love. Listen to this one.
Well, you can tell by the rankings, it looks like we made up some ground, but, you know, we still got to beat them. I mean, that's, you know, you still got to beat them. You still got to go through them to win the SEC West against the SEC Championship. We've had some tests this year. We've answered the bell, and I do believe we have tremendous leadership. I do believe we're well equipped to compete with these guys. I believe it's going to be a great game.
Ed Orgeron, very cool, calm, and collected. Not too tight, not too loose, just right. Just right. Our build-up to Bama LSU continues after this timeout when we meet up with Ross Dellinger, the lead football writer from Sports Illustrated, who's been out and about doing stories about this game. We'll find out about it next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, in college football, Baylor, 12th ranked, squeaked past West Virginia by 3. Notre Dame, 16th ranked, squeaked by Virginia Tech by 1. Wake Forest continues to win. App State gets upset by Georgia Southern. And maybe we buried the Georgia Bulldogs a little prematurely. Let's talk all things college football with the lead writer of college football for Sports Illustrated, our good friend Mr. Ross Dellinger. Ross, how have you been, buddy?
Hey, Jordy, been good. How are you?
I heard you've been down in the deep south, man. Once you stay here now, it's hard to go back up to that cold nation's capital. Be careful.
Yeah, no, I can't leave South Louisiana. But, shoot, there was a few days this week where it was colder down here. It's been chilly, man.
What you been working on? What kind of story angles, storylines are you trying to cover for this, quote, Game of the Century Part 2?
Well, I spent most of last week in Baton Rouge and in Hammond working on some pieces. Last week we dropped a story on LSU's receivers. Just today we dropped a story from kind of a sit-down lunch interview we had with Joe Burrow and how his life has changed, you know, with him being a Heisman front runner. And later this week, we'll have a story from Hammond about Alabama defensive coordinator Pete Golding, who is originally from Hammond, Louisiana.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm curious, without stealing all the thunder from the article, what's one thing that's changed about Joe Burrow?
Well, some LSU fans have somehow figured out his email address and have been emailing him his personal email address, so that happened. The things like that, I think, that he has to deal with now when he's in the spotlight. You know, he has obviously a lot of media requests, and that's something that he understands, but might not necessarily love. So he's having to get used to a lot of those things. You know, he's a local celebrity now there, and that comes with obviously a big bright spotlight.
LSU fans, I mean, they got Burrow's email. Back in the day, they got Tim Tebow's phone number. I don't know how they do it. I wouldn't begin to know where to start to do something like that. That's just interesting. All right. So we look forward to reading those articles about the ball game. Other things, interesting things have happened in the world of college football. It didn't take long. Willie Taggart is gone. He's out at Florida State. They're going to have to pay him, I don't know, $17, $18 million a year to leave. And everybody I ever talked to about Florida State, it's a great program, but their facilities are so antiquated. That's one of the big reasons why they lost Jimbo Fisher.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of positivity about Florida State, but there's a lot of negativity in that job as well. I mean, it's obviously a name brand. It's in a pretty richly talented kind of recruiting territory, not just in the state of Florida, but pretty close to the Atlanta area, and obviously they have history of winning and such like that. But it's also behind a little bit.
Sure do.
It's behind of a lot of other universities when it comes to resources, when it comes to facilities, and then the leadership there is, you know, according to a lot of reports, I mean, I'm not close to the Florida State program at all, but the leadership there, the AD and president, is something that might be temporary a little bit. So, I don't know. There's a lot of drawbacks too, and honestly, part of me would feel surprised if there's a real, established guy at a Power Five school who takes that job. You know, they might have to look elsewhere at the Group of Five level head coaches or a coordinator.
What if Gus Malzahn just says, you know what, I've had enough of this, you know what, at this place. I keep winning, and y'all are never satisfied. Jimmy Sexton, get me out of here and send me to Florida State. I mean, what else does the guy have to do? They're never pleased with Gus Malzahn at Auburn, ever.
Well, if he thinks they're at his throat and never pleased at Auburn, I don't think it's going to get much better at Florida State, who just fired a guy halfway through his second year. You know, expectations are pretty similar in both those places. And it's not, you know, yes, he would be, you know, Gus would be moving out from under a Nick Saban, you know, shadow, but he'd be getting right into the shadow of Florida and Miami and still recruiting, having to recruit against
Central
Alabama
Florida
and Georgia. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, it's probably an easier path there to the playoff. And I've seen some people kind of tossing his name around. It would still surprise me.
I hear Mark Stoops at Kentucky, but we'll let them figure that all out themselves. Did we bury Georgia prematurely?
Maybe we did. You know, maybe that's going to be one of those things where later this season we just realize Georgia had a little hiccup that one day, you know, against South Carolina, and that really they're a team that's been the team of the last couple of years, you know, and been the team that that is a playoff contender. We've had that in the past where, you know, these are 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, and they can't play perfect every game, and I think that maybe that's what happened.
That's right.
You know, it's just one of those games where you know, you have just a bad day, and yeah, and maybe that's what happened, because for the most part, you know, I think that Georgia probably controls its own destiny. If it can, it'll have a chance to get LSU or Alabama in the SEC championship game, and a 12-1 SEC champion who just beat a potential number one LSU or Alabama, you would think will get into the playoff.
Right. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, joining us. I know this is blasphemous in this part of the world, but I'm going to throw it out there. LSU loses a close one in Tuscaloosa. They don't have to play in the SEC championship game. They finish at 11-1, avoiding that Georgia team. I still think they got a great shot to get in the playoff because of their resume.
Well, I think it can be said, and I've said it and tweeted it the last week or so, is that the loser of LSU-Alabama, especially if it's LSU given their resume so far, might have a better shot to get in the playoff than the winner, because the winner has to play in the SEC championship game. And so they have an extra game. And not only do they have an extra game, they have an extra game over a top five, top ten team. We saw it happen, I think it was 2017 maybe, with Alabama. They lost to Auburn. Auburn went to the championship game. Alabama left at home at 11-1. Got into the playoff after Auburn lost in the championship game to Georgia. Georgia and Alabama both got in. And Alabama ended up, you know, winning their next two games and winning the title. Could totally see that happening again. You know, if LSU loses a close one to Alabama and Alabama loses the SEC championship game, could be Georgia again in that 11-1 non-SEC champion getting in.
Wow. It's crazy, I know, but you're right. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. Man, Oregon was impressive. A 32-point win on the road at Southern Cal. Pac-12's not out of this thing yet, are they?
No, they're not. And I really like Oregon. I've liked them in the preseason. They were my pick to be in the playoffs. And they really shot themselves in the foot against Auburn. They really should have won that game. And I was there, and they dominated for 2.5, 3 quarters and just gave up some big plays in the fourth quarter and didn't move the ball like they had been in the second half. But, you know, credit to Auburn. But they're right there. I think they're right there with one of some of the best teams in the nation, and now they're getting on a little roll here, and you know it's going to probably end up coming down to a one loss. You know, as far as playoff contenders, you know, you kind of pencil in Clemson and pencil in Ohio State and pencil in the SEC champion, and you got one spot for maybe three teams: a one loss Pac-12 champion that could be Oregon or Utah, a one loss Oklahoma in the Big 12, potentially Baylor if they keep rolling, you know. And then you've got that, what we were just talking about, that, you know, 11-1 LSU or that 11-1 Alabama or whatnot. It feels like we're down to about three or four teams for one or two spots.
Ross Dellinger, lead college football writer for Sports Illustrated. He joins us each and every Monday at this time, brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. Back to Joe Burrow. What impresses you as you sit there and you get to talk with him? Ed Orgeron calls him one of the top five recruits in the history of LSU football. He says he's got everything. He wouldn't trade him for anybody. People say he has that Peyton Manning film study kind of a habit. What did you sense about Burrow and what he's about to enter into in Tuscaloosa?
Well, this is one of those, you know, career defining games. I think it's pretty obvious now that everybody could agree that if Joe Burrow, you know, does pretty well and leads LSU to a victory on Saturday, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. I mean, unless something wild happens late in the year, he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And I think there's something to be said, you know, if he has a really good game and LSU loses a close one, that he's still going to win the Heisman Trophy or certainly be a finalist. So this is a huge game for not just the LSU program, but for him individually, for his draft stock. Talked to a scout last week about Tua versus Joe, and you know the scouts are going to be there, man, and they're going to be watching and seeing which one of those guys steps up in a bigger way. And so it's a big one. It's as big of a of a football game that I a regular season football game that I can remember.
Do you sense he has the calmness about him to handle that type of environment? The only time he's ever played Alabama was a 29-zip shutout for the guys in Crimson. So I know it's a different year, different team, different players, but do you sense he has that factor about him to handle that environment?
He does. You know, he's a unique guy. He's kind of quirky. He doesn't really care for the spotlight too much. I can tell you he's getting tired of, in a lot of ways, I think he's getting tired of the media responsibilities. He just wants to play ball, and I think he's one of those leaders that really captains a team well, and that's what you need in this situation.
How'd you like to be the sports information director at Alabama this weekend, having to handle you, all the media requests, all the requests from scouts? I mean, I can't imagine what the number is, but it's got to be off the charts.
It's 600 is the last credential I saw from Aaron Suttles. He had tweeted that out earlier today. Not only does he have to handle all of us, but, you know, Donald Trump's coming to town, apparently, and so that just adds another headache.
Is he?
Holy
Toledo.
You might
not get
today,
through security
yeah.
now. Son of a gun. All right. Well, we look forward to all the stories in Sports Illustrated. You'll be there for the big game. We look forward to talking to you next week to get your reaction to LSU, Bama. I mean, Orgeron said it best. He feels great about his club. It's the most ready team he's had, but you still got to go beat them, and you got to go beat them in their backyard. And they're pretty well coached with some pretty good football players on that side as well. Titanic matchup. Can't wait.
Thanks, Jordy.
All right, buddy. You take care. That is Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. Yep. Everything looks great. Everything feels great. But we got to hit them in the nose, and they're going to hit us in the nose, and who's going to react the best? And again, your best players have to play their best. Joe Burrow has to go win the Heisman in Tuscaloosa. That's the kind of game he's got to have. And if he plays like he has all season long, he'll be fine. Is Bama's defense as good as Auburn's? As good as Florida's? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Is LSU's offensive line going to be able to handle all the schemes, the schematics, the stunts that Nick Saban is going to throw? Because he's coming after him. I'm telling you, what has he always said? We don't have to sack the quarterback. We have to affect the quarterback. Get him off his spot. Make him throw it sooner than he wants to. So can LSU handle that? And can Dave Aranda figure out a way to do something that no one's done yet, and that's to limit what damage the wide receivers do? They don't do anything exotic. They just catch it, and then they're so fast and they're so elusive, they get more yards after the catch than anybody. And that's what makes them so good. So let the chess match begin, and we'll be here all week long to talk about it. Let me tell you what else we have. We talked about giving away game tickets here on 103.7 The Game for the final two LSU home games. And we've also got another activity for you. And this is really, really cool. It's the Cirque du Soleil. It's the OVO show, which is a family show based on the world of insects, bustling with action and full of fun and color. And, of course, our station, 103.7 The Game, has your chance to win a pair of tickets to this amazing show that's coming to the Cajun Dome. It's down the road, but they're going to go fast, March 25th through the 29th. Just text CIRQUE, C-I-R-Q-U-E, CIRQUE, C-I-R-Q-U-E, to 68683. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to this amazing show. Once again, just text CIRQUE to 68683 for your chance to win tickets, brought to you by 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. It sounds like something Mike Rhodes, listening in Lafayette, would like to go to. We'll be right back.
all the best guests join the Jordy Holtberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
Sorry, PJ Fleck. You know what they say, if you're a salesperson, you get one. If you close one out of five deals, then you're doing a great job. PJ Fleck, head coach at Minnesota, tried his best. He tried his best, but College Game Day is going to be in Tuscaloosa Saturday for LSU and Bama, ranked 1 and 2 in the polls. Georgia, the next SEC team at number 6. Florida with 2 losses, the highest ranked 2-loss team at number 10. Auburn's at number 12. So here we go, down the stretch. Yes, we'll hear more from the Alabama side of things tomorrow. But it was history lesson time, and it was on this day, November the 4th. The year was 1973. A first, an absolute first, as the New Orleans Saints picked their first shutout in their NFL existence, a 13-zip win over the Buffalo Bills. Just how bad must the Bills have been? That's all I'm going to say. How bad could they have possibly been? Yeah, pretty bad. All right, birthday wishes. If today is your birthday, well, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. November the 4th is a special day. You share your birthday with... Happy 31st to Dez Bryant, still looking for a gig. Saints gave him a try, but he was hurt. Happy 50th birthday to Diddy. Diddy, of course, was involved with the Brooklyn Nets. Now he's in the agent business. The Pels take on the Kyrie Irving Brooklyn Nets tonight in the beautiful Barclays Center. Happy 50th birthday. He's awful quiet now. He was peacocking back when LSU and Dallas, Texas were playing. But Matthew McConaughey isn't saying anything. But we say happy birthday to you, Matthew, and happy 73rd birthday to former First Lady Laura Bush. I had the privilege of meeting her at a Houston Rockets game. She was very, very sweet and very, very nice. Thanks to our guests, Brooks Cabina of The Advocate talking LSU, the big story, Michael Divinity, gone from the team. Others will step up. Nick Fontenot on the Raging Cajuns, who are bowl eligible, now at 6-2 after their 31-3 win over Texas State. Next up Thursday at Coastal Carolina. So a quick turnaround for Billy Napier's squad. And then Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated on the big showdown. Can you hold off? Can you wait? Tickets are, if you want them, you better pony up, because they ain't cheap. They are not cheap. But it's a great environment, and it'll be a lot of fun. Yes, indeed. CD, job well done, as always. I can't thank you enough. Tomorrow, we'll hear from the Alabama side of things. We'll preview more on the Raging Cajuns in Coastal Carolina. We'll get a Saints update. They're back practicing now. So we're back on the regular road. And what a time it is to be a football fan in this part of the world. Yes, indeed. Thanks to all of you for listening, to our partners that make it possible each and every day. We couldn't do it without you. We have only one Monday, November the 4th. Man, have a great rest of your afternoon and even better evening. And come on back tomorrow. Same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Holtberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.